And that's not all. Buy today and we'll send you completely free.
Ever thought that some offers are just too good to be true?
Yes, that's an incredible 42-piece set for only $19.95. Yes, you heard us.
That you don't generally get something for nothing?
Free! Free! Free!
Well, at PokerStars, you actually do. Because the minute you sign up as a real money player, you automatically join our VIP club and start earning player points towards hundreds of items, from plasmas to Porsches to seats at major poker tournaments. Visit PokerStars.com/VIP to see why our rewards program makes other offers seem, well, a lot of hot air. PokerStars VIP Club, the best online poker reward program.
From the WDAE Sports Animal Studios in Tampa, Florida, it's the Ante Up PokerCast presented by PokerStars. And now here are two guys who think they know how to play poker, Chris Cosenza and Scott Long.
It's February 18th, 2011, and you're listening to the best PokerCast on the internet. I'm Chris Cosenza.
And I'm Scott Long. Chris, it's spring, and that means that a number of state legislatures are in session. Are coming in session soon, and we'll talk more about that in the news desk. But, you know, here in Florida, I like to keep my fingers on the pulse of gaming legislation. And I got a chuckle a couple weeks ago when I saw that they introduced a bill to create a Florida Gaming Commission.
Sweet.
No, that's not the joke.
that's why I didn't laugh.
It's actually pretty boring, but what was funny about it is I'm reading through the bill and then I look, I'm like, hey, it is Senate Bill 666.
Oh my God!
You know, I thought to myself, it's hard enough to get past the Bible thumpers and the other folks that think that gaming is destroying our fabric of our society in general, right?
Yep.
But then it's like we're just putting it on a platter for them when the bill number is 666. I mean, you don't even have to be good at marketing to come up with a campaign against a bill like that.
Oh, man. That is just crazy.
I mean, couldn't the guy, like, get out of line? You know, the senator's in line, and all right, next bill's going to be 666. Oh, hey, no, hey, why don't you go ahead? Really, I forgot my briefcase back at the office. Let's let the next guy get in line and take the number?
The Senate would like to recognize the senator from Jacksonville, Damien. What do you have to say about this?
I mean, really, they should have been like, hey, anybody got a support a bestiality bill? Why don't you come to the front of the line here? You take the 666. You take the heat.
Oh, my God. Why would they even, you know, why would anybody who wants this to happen even approve that? Just say, you know what? Wait. Let's just wait.
Well, you know, like, I'm having some fun about stepping out of line and stuff. But it turns out, you know, that these bills are just automatically numbered. So it's like picking a bingo ball out of a thing. B11! Chicken legs!
Oh, my God.
Yeah, it's a flashback to last week's show. Making sure people were listening. Obviously the senator that introduced this had really no choice, and I'm sure he just huh? Are you serious? But ironically, I say ironically, I have a feeling that you're going to go all Alanis Morissette on me here and tell me this isn't ironic. we have a bill here in Florida to create a interstate poker network. It has to be the second, potentially the second in the United States if the New Jersey one is approved here pretty soon. And that bill was House Bill 77. And the lawmaker that proposed it was on a radio show that I was on last week. And he's like, you know, hey, this is just the luck of the draw. How happy are we that we got 7-7? The Gaming Commission gets 6-6-6. But the poker bill gets 7-7. Lucky sevens.
Yeah, I guess.
I mean, it would be better if it was 777.
Yeah, I guess so.
Maybe he could scratch that in pencil when he's passing out the bill to his fellow lawmakers.
I guess, you know, a 7 from heaven, you know, 666, you know, whatever. It was funny. I missed it altogether. I didn't understand why you thought it was ironic. I'm not making fun of you or anything. At first I just didn't get it, you know. I didn't understand what the 7-7 was supposed to mean. Like, walking sticks? I mean, I'm trying to figure out what, you know, I'm too focused in on poker and not, like, gambling 7 from heaven kind of thing, you know. So,
my anniversary, my wife and I, we got married in Vegas, right?
Yeah.
Anniversary is 7/21.
It's awesome.
I thought it was awesome, you know. You got the 7, you got the blackjack in there.
You got craps, and you got blackjack. Oh my God! Well, you know, I wanted to let you
poker talk about. I hope, right?
We do. You know, remember? I don't know if you and I have had talks about this before, but you know, I've recently changed my cable provider to Fios because I wanted to get the most advanced technology. Yeah, get the fast connection and everything. And so, what I hadn't done was because you know when you have a TiVo. You know, you don't need the TiVo now because I got the DVR. But I hadn't reprogrammed my DVR so that I would record all of the poker shows. You know, I got whatever the wifey wanted.
Wait a minute. I know you love watching Rounders daily.
Right.
All right, but I guarantee you when my TiVo went to the great electronic farm in the sky and I got my new DVR, I put life on hold to get all my season passes done right away.
Yeah.
How does this not rate as the most important thing in your life?
Well, here's the deal. You know, when you get it, you don't have the TiVo right next to the DVR, like put it up on a screen to remember everything that you have to record. So I got the wifey's ones out of the way quickly, you know, the American Idols and the Survivors and Vampire Diaries or whatever. But you know, for me, I was like, there's so many poker shows that I forgot. I just didn't put them all in. So this week, for some reason, I'm flicking through the channels and Poker After Dark was on, and I was like, oh yeah, I wonder if they have any new episodes yet. Because for the longest time, there was nothing new on. I kept putting it on, and it was a repeat, so I just stopped watching it. Well, they do have a new season. They do have, you know, new episodes, and I just forgot to program it. So I finally got around to putting in, like, Poker After Dark, and I've got High Stakes ready to go when it finally launches with Norm MacDonald. But you know what? I wanted to tell you. I watched an episode of Poker After Dark last week and another one this week.
Is Shauna still looking great?
Who?
Shauna Hyatt.
I you know what? I don't know.
Because she was on the last I watched.
Yeah, no. I tell you what, though. It's surprising, but the woman they got now, that Leanne Tweeden, she's still on the show. She's broken the curse, you know, but she still hasn't been on our show. So the minute she's on our show is the minute she gets fired or the show cancels or whatever.
Yeah, that's right.
That's why she's lasted so long.
It's part of the Eddie Up Jobs bill. We don't have anybody on the show that we're... I think we can potentially put out of work.
But, you know, they sort of – it's the same company that puts out High Stakes, right. Puts out Poker After Dark. So they piggyback on their idea from last season of High Stakes. Remember, I don't know if you know this, but during High Stakes, they have Kara Scott there who she can interview the players either, you know, right after a hand or during a hand. And during the show, they tell you what they were thinking on that hand, which was kind of cool. Uh-huh. So now they've got this new thing on Poker After Dark called the chat box.
Awesome.
And whenever
Bill O'Reilly involved?
No, but whenever something happens, Phil Locke or one of these guys who are, you know, apt to like to speak their mind, get up from the table and they run into the other room and then they sit down at the chat box and they got this little camera on them. And they start to explain what they saw in the hand or what's going on in the hand.
So it's like the diary room on Big Brother.
Exactly. Only it's live, and it happens right there at the moment rather than, you know, no, you didn't say it with enough feeling. Say it again. You know, no. It's literally actually what's going on. So that's kind of cool. The weird thing about it is that they, you know, they call it a chat box, like, online and try to lure more online players to watch this thing. And then while they're speaking, they have like this little chat box line underneath them, and the words get typed in as to what they're saying, like some sort of like you're really doing it online or something, or some sort of sick closed caption thing, you know. But yeah, so whenever somebody would say something like "This is just sick," it would come up, "This is just sick!" ! You know, and it's like, come on. But I mean, it is cool to get to see what's going on in their heads about the other players, because usually it's obviously it's somebody who's not in the hand, because they're in the hand, they can't get up from the table and run away. But right, you know, so you know, Phil Locke probably did a couple of extra lines last night, and he was all excited and kept jumping around and bouncing around, and he jumped in there and he was going crazy in the chat box. So it was kind of fun. But you know what though, David Pete was sitting next to him, and David Pete literally would pay Howard Lederer $5,000 to change seats with him so he wouldn't have to sit next to Phil Locke. That's how crazy he was acting. I mean, he was
totally
just
money well spent.
I don't think I can handle Phil Locke at my table for too long. I mean, it's insane. But one thing they have for this season,
probably good, because we've handled you at our table.
No, I don't think so. This is a different kind of insanity. My insanity stems from like being on tilt. His insanity is because he's insane. I mean, it's just a
fired to him.
Oh yes. My God! Yeah, he was driving Pete crazy. Something else I wanted to tell you about, and I think it's scary. Whoever approved the opening of this season for their show, really, I don't know what they were thinking, because everybody looks like crap. You know, have you noticed this new phenomenon they have with television shows now, especially on like TNT and TBS, where they have these sort of still frame photos, yet the camera can still pan around the photo or into the photo it's 3D. Yeah. Well, they're kind of doing that with this intro. And when they like get really close up to the players who are used in this sort of intro spot, they look like hell. They look like they're like 100 years older than they are. They look like, I mean, it's just scary looking. These people look like Dawn of the Dead. What are they thinking? You have to watch this guy. You have to see how scary these people look. I mean, I realize they're poker players and they're not exactly handpicked actors that they use for commercials where you have to fall in love with the person because they're so beautiful or handsome. No, these people are scary looking to start with, and then they put it on this weird sort of high resolution, high def angle, and they get really close on their face and on their heads, and the lighting is really, oh my God, it's scary as all hell. I would if I was one of those players and saw that intro, I would like literally demand that they put up some sort of generic thing and take me off of it, because it's scary looking.
Well, I mean, what player doesn't want to be scary at the table?
This would keep people from watching it. It's that scary. You would think it's a horror show, not a poker show. But there was one hand I wanted to talk about. I think it was they had the cash game going on the last 2 weeks, and Ellie Elezra is in there, and everyone knows that Ellie is, you know, he's got like 25 million businesses on the Vegas Strip, and he's got a net worth of like Bill Gates, you know, proportions, and so he can afford whatever he wants to do at a poker table. And like Dan Negreanu, he tends to be a calling station in these things. He likes to call. He likes to see a lot of hands. He likes to call. But I want to put out a call. Please, Ellie, please play in our game. because it's incredible what this – he was up over $200,000 at the moment of this hand, okay? And you know who FBT is, Greg Mueller?
Sure.
Yeah. So he's in a hand, and he's already like stuck like 50 grand, and he's got like 80 in front of him. And Phil Locke is on his left doing his crazy maniac thing. And Phil Locke was stuck a bunch, so his maniac thing was working. He was raising with anything, and people were getting out of his way, and he was showing down some good hands when they did get called. So he was kind of turning his session around. But he does this thing where he blurts out some random number, and it's always this exorbitant amount. And usually when he does that, he has the nuts, or he has a real good hand, and people usually fold to him. So there's this one hand where Olivier Bousquet, that's the player in like the two seat, he makes a raise with a decent hand, and I believe FBT Mueller raises, but not a lot, but he raises enough with kings. Now it gets to Locke, who has like ace tray or something, and he makes one of those $23,111 raises, you know, right?
I love it.
It's just ridiculous, but he has crap. So he makes that raise. It gets to Ellie, and Ellie has ace-queen offsuit. All right? Now, when it's been called, raised, and re-raised, you have ace-queen. It finds muck faster than, you know. But no. He's like, how much is it to me? And he thinks the other guys are going to fold and that maybe Locke was doing a squeeze play, I think.
Right.
So that's what I'm thinking. You know, of course, you and I don't really have any right to analyze what's going on here, but I do have the right to say, Ellie, please play in our game. So he calls 20, it's like 23,000, okay? He calls 23,000 ace-queen offsuit. Yeah, Olivia Bousquet folds, gets to Mueller, of course, who has kings. He says, how much is it? And before they can even answer him, he goes, I'm all in. And it's another 63,000 on top of that, okay? So Phil Locke does the whole, oh, I wish I didn't raise, blah, 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 you know, gets some showtime, folds. And Ellie calls almost instantly. 63 more! He committed over $80,000 to ace-queen offsuit when Mueller was the one who had raised, saw a re-raise, saw a call, and then shoved. Now, I realize maybe pot odds now dictated it, but he has to understand that at least Olivier or Locke had to have an ace in their hand, and and he's either dominated by FBT or if anything, crushed. So he still calls, Scott. This is the stuff that is priceless about poker on TV, because this isn't, you know, I mean, this isn't just, hey, they show you the best hands. Generally, in these cash games, they show you everything. And this is just incredible. In the end, they run it twice. He flops a queen on the first one, but then Mueller makes trips or a set on the turn, and then another queen comes on the river, which really hurts Ellie, because now instead of that queen being able to help him later, Mueller makes a full house and his three queens lose. And then on the second board, he gets a straight draw but never gets there. So he loses over $80,000 on ace-queen offsuit, Scott. Explain that to me. Some people have just too much money.
Yeah, and we are not two of them.
We will never have that much money that we will call all-ins for like a third of our net worth for ace-queen. I mean, that was just the sickest call. I thought for sure he was folding for 63 more thousand. I mean, I guess pot odds he's getting maybe, I didn't even figure it out, but he's probably getting, no, not even, he wouldn't be getting 3-1, that's for sure. I mean, maybe 2-1 for, I don't know. It was incredible. It was absolutely incredible, and he deserved to lose all that money.
Wow.
See, you thought today's show was going to be subpar.
Well, we may not be rich in the bank account, buddy.
No.
But we are rich in quality listeners who'd like to share their wisdom with us. And we got not one but two feedbacks this week.
I knew that was going to happen. Last week was so controversial that I knew we were
going to. Yeah. We had a lot of good stuff last week. And so the first one, we got an email from John Whipple. He's listened to us all the way from the beginning, Chris, back when we were in diapers. And I think he lives in Washington, so he has become quite an expert on this whole Washington online poker situation that our mailbag was centered on last week, right?
Yeah, Washington State, right.
And this is what he wrote back. He said he heard the letter on the question about online poker in Washington State, and he says he's previously done some looking into it. And here's what he thinks is the lowdown. I'm playing on the two big sites, PokerStars. He says it goes by the address on your account file, and you need some sort of proof of moving out of the state to use that money account again. So you can't just send him an email, oh, yeah, hey, got a new job. Moved to California. Here's my PO address. You actually need to prove something, he said.
Right.
But then he also said their FAQ page also sounds like they might be blocking using ISP addresses, similar to what Full Tilt does. And he says that's exactly what Full Tilt does. They check your ISP address, so you can effectively be a Washington resident, he says, but go to another state and play your normal account. So he says that Phil Gordon, which we talked about last week, right?
Right.
Says he has an office in Idaho he travels to play in. So
yeah,
must be close to the border. So, you know, can't wake up in the morning and play, but can get in the whatever he drives, stretch Hummer or something.
Stretch Hummer. And he's got to put his llamas in there.
Right, yeah, yeah. I go over to Idaho and, you know, donk off in the 2-4 limit game. But, you know, it's exactly what I thought. And then, you know, he went into a bunch of other stuff that he sent us. But a lot of good information. So folks, you know, can look into it more. You know, the ISP addresses, as I suspected, are kind of freaky. You know, he mentioned that somebody was, you know, their IP addresses. They live in Oregon, right? But the ISP address actually goes through Washington somehow. So they get blocked.
Yeah, that sucks.
And so I imagine this was going to be a problem in these interstate bills that we're talking about, New Jersey, maybe even Florida, California, Iowa, these other places doing it, that it's not exactly foolproof.
Well, you know what else, too? There are ways to play on someone else's ISP address if they allow you to. Like, someone can set up an account for you in Vegas, and then you can call them up and say, hey, I'm gonna play tonight, so make sure your computer's on. They can get in through their ISP or something, and then there's ways around it. You know,
I mean,
didn't you see? Everybody saw Kick-Ass, right? Everybody saw Kick-Ass, you know. And when the guy, Nick Cage, runs into the guy's office, hey, you made your ISP so obvious to track you down. I've rerouted it for you. So obviously, there are things you probably could do to get around it, but it would probably cost a lot, or I don't know, whatever. But yeah, there's ways around it, but yeah, I figured ISP was the way they were blocking. Oh, we have another feedback from Simon Orell. This is on a sign language thing.
Yeah, I gotta say, I love the name Simon. I don't have kids. I don't think I'll have kids. But if I have kids, Simon is a good name.
Because Simon says.
Well, yeah, yeah. Simon is just. I think. Have you ever met a Simon that's not smart? You don't see the Simon being the big brute on the playground beating people up.
Yeah, he's not Ogre
no
from Revenge of the Nerds.
Yeah, exactly. I mean. You know, I want my fake kid to be smart, so I'm gonna name him Simon.
Hey, you're gonna force that on him, you know? All cats in the cradle. All right. So anyway, Simon says, just wanted to let you know that at a Venetian cash game a couple of years ago, a dealer at my table stopped two people from signing when he announced, "I know ASL and I know what you just said about your hand." So it does happen. People are cheating, and so now we gotta teach dealers ASL.
Yeah, see, you know, one bad apple spoils the entire orchard. And we actually got a lot of more feedback on ASL on the forum at antiatmagazine.com/forum, all saying the same thing. So, you know, it just puts the poker room managers in an even tougher spot. Because, you know, we talked last week when I was talking to Sam, I'm like, you know, hey, you know, you don't want to be cruel. And if somebody's got a legitimate disability, you want to help them.
Right.
Not be so out of the loop, but
right.
But yeah, then you got these people that just abuse it.
Yeah, no, absolutely.
Hurts
absolutely
it for the rest of them.
Yep, absolutely right.
All right, well, Simon, this is this week's mailbag, and we are going to be happy to send you a download of the PokerHam Breakdown Pro, a hand history analysis program for single or mixed games from element26.net. Good thing about it, you don't have to sign using it. All right. Well, you know, Chris, we do these surveys once a year, right?
We do. We do surveys once
and
a year.
We ask folks, you know, what we can be doing better here.
In other words, we do them annually.
Annually.
We survey annually.
Too big of a word for me, but I'm glad you could get it out. And one of the biggest suggestions we had last year is, hey, bring back that Anti-Up store. Now, here's the thing. Last time we had the Anti-Up store, Chris, you remember this. It was on that Cafe Press thing, right?
Yes, yes.
And it was real easy to upload designs and stuff, but then t-shirts cost like $170 each. And to be honest, they weren't great quality either. You know, I've got a couple of them still in my closet, but you know, I bring them out when I'm like, you know,
drunk,
not going to see anybody. Right. So it just wasn't a great thing for us. So we've been talking around with a couple of folks we know, and one of our good friends who's in the e-commerce business has created a new Anti-Up store for us.
Yes, antiupstore.com.
Antiupstore.com. And then what we did is we went out and paired up with a lot of other advertisers, potential advertisers, people we know in the business that are selling stuff, and asked them to be vendors in this store. So now it's become essentially a one-stop shopping for folks interested in all kinds of poker stuff.
Yes.
And, of course, we asked some of them to create some Anti-Up items. So right now we've got in there you can get Anti-Up t-shirts from PMS Pokerware. Anti-up car protectors from PokeCharms. Oh, those are pretty cool, too. Have you seen those?
I have seen them. They're hilarious.
They got the little magazine covers on them?
Yes, they got anti-up magazine covers on them. It says, like, anti-up on them or the anti-up logo and stuff. It's really cool to see our cover, like, part of a trinket. That's pretty wild.
Yeah, particularly one with Gene Simmons. That's my favorite.
I like the donkey one.
Yeah, I figured you probably would. Also, you can get the custom chips from the Poker Up Shop. They got our little logo on there, and you can even get them the name. So you can make them like our new friend Simon. He can get Simon's Casino with Ante Up on it.
And I know what you're thinking. No, you can't get these chips and bring them on our cruise. They won't work. They're not denomination on our cruise.
You can bring them on the cruise, but...
But they won't work in the room.
Say, thank you for purchasing them. But yeah, so check that stuff out at AntieUpStore.com. And then, but it's much more than AntieUp stuff. You know, some people are just too cool for school.
Yeah.
Don't want to be wearing AntieUp logo stuff around. But there's lots of other stuff on the site. And some of the stuff that we have on there are sunglasses, some Blue Shark Optics, custom chips from Palm Gaming International. Lots of clothing on there from Bust Out Poker, High Roller Clothing, Big Kicker Gear, Bad Hat Poker. Those hats that Kenny has?
Yeah, those hats that Kenny has, yeah.
Cards from J Design Playing Cards, the official playing cards of AntieUp. Now you can buy them straight from the AntieUp store.
Yes.
Bracelets from Pro Poker Gear and Poker Bling. So for your home games, if you're looking for a bracelet to give out, get them from our store.
Yeah, yeah.
And then kind of really interesting, live training and training aids from the WPT Boot Camp, casino seminars, Great Poker Hands, Remember Media. So you can even actually get discounted tickets to WPT Boot Camps on there.
Cool.
And then buy some other stuff that will help your game. And then jewelry from Poker Pig and High Hills Poker Tour.
I met the Poker Pig lady.
Yeah.
Yeah, I met her over in Palm Beach. Yeah. Yeah, nice lady.
So lots of stuff there, and we've got a bunch of vendors that are still working on getting stuff up there, so fresh stuff every week. So check it out at AntieUpStore.com. Also, we'll put out a call. What kind of AntieUp items that people want? And we'll let us know. Either email us at podcast@AntieUpMagazine.com or post in the AntieUp forum at AntieUpMagazine.com/forum. And we'll let our vendors know and see if they can come up with some creative stuff. I already had a lot of requests for AntieUp hoodies, Chris.
So they can't wear them in the poker room.
Humor was not lost on me when I got the team.
Oh, my God. Variety is a spice of life, so.
And also, the other thing that we're happy about, free shipping on everything in there.
That's awesome.
Into the price, so you don't have to worry about... that and 30-day money-back guarantee. So in the unlikely case that you actually don't like what you've got, we're going to give you your money back. We're honest e-commerce brokers.
Hey, you know what? Our cruise is getting pretty damn close.
Yeah, yeah. I can't even believe how much I have to get done here in the next couple weeks. It sneaked up on me. Not snuck up on me. You know what I saw in the newspaper the other day? Snuck.
You saw snuck in the paper?
Four times in the same column.
Can't be in the St. Pete Times.
Yes, yes, it was.
See, as soon as we left, that place went downhill.
Yeah, it sneaked, folks, not snuck.
It's dived, not dove.
But yeah, you're right. The cruise is coming up. Remember, it's $4.99. We only have, I believe, we're down to 8 cabins left.
Wow.
And only one balcony and only one ocean view. So get on the horn here pretty soon and give me a call at 727-331-4335. Or visit AntieUpMagazine.com/cruise for more details. And we'll get you on the boat. And, you know, we got did I ever mention that we got listeners from Canada coming on this cruise, Chris?
I don't think you did.
We got listeners all the way from Canada. So all you folks out there say, oh, I want to go on the cruise, but it's so far from me. Canada, pretty far away.
Yeah, that's another whole country, I think.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I don't even think it's on North America, right? It's on a different continent, right? Asia or something?
I think it's in Europe. Hey, you know, speaking of people far away coming to see us and do stuff for us, remember our ambassador program?
I have not forgotten it.
It's still there, and we still want some. So anybody, anywhere in the United States, interested in being an ambassador for us, go to AntieUpMagazine.com/ambassadors. We'd like to hear from you and see just how committed you are to the AntieUp Nation, and we'd like to put you to work. So... check it out. This week's hotline is 813-448-1120. Comes from Terry in Fort Walton Beach.
Love Fort Long Beach.
Yeah, I've been there, I think.
Just live up near there.
We drove through
there.
I used
to work there.
Yeah.
Hello, Scott and Chris. This is Terry Green calling from Fort Walton Beach. What's the difference between trapping and slow rolling? It seems like one is acceptable and the other one is not. And when do you use one and not the other? So that's all I got. Thanks.
Okay, well, just right off the bat, I think he means slow playing, right? Not slow rolling. Because slow rolling means at the end of the hand, you're just taking forever to show
that's
the winning
a good point.
Hand.
I was going to say, you know, it was kind of timely since we talked about slow rolling on the last week. And you could actually trap and slow roll.
You could do that, but there's no difference. They're different things completely.
You just have to have a big bodyguard with you.
Of course, slow rolling means you take forever to show your winning hand at the end to rub it into somebody. But he means slow playing, I think. So
that makes more sense.
Yeah, sure. Let's talk about the difference between the two. You know, trapping can mean a bunch of different things, and the degree of the hand that you're trapping with doesn't necessarily have to be a monster hand. It could just be a big hand that someone wouldn't suspect you have.
Right.
But slow.
Well disguised.
Yeah, well disguised. But slow playing means that you already have the nuts. And you're just letting them either bet for you, and you're just calling with an incredibly strong hand, or you're betting a little amount as you go along, not revealing how strong your hand, just not revealing that I'm going to bet all of my chips here because I have the nuts. So there's a difference between the two. Trapping is you're just setting someone up. Slow rolling means you already have it, and you're just walking the dog, as they
slow
say.
Playing, I mean. So you're not,
I mean, slow playing, yes. Yeah. Because I'm reading it on our notes, so
yeah. Now you got it's poisoned your mind as well, too. I think the thing with slow playing that's important to note is generally when you do it, it bites you in the behind.
It can, yes.
Because generally what you happen is like, oh, I got a big, hey, my favorite is people get pocket aces pre-flop and slow play those.
Yeah.
All right, you've got a lot of play left in this hand. That's not the time to start slow playing them. You're going to want to wait until you hit that third ace, maybe that fourth ace, before you slow play. So, I mean, if you're trying to let people catch up, that's probably slow playing. But sometimes you overestimate your slow playing.
And that's poor playing.
Poor playing. I like it.
I remember a friend of the family once, said, hey, yeah, here you're a poker guy now. I'm like, yeah. He goes, I've caught the hold'em bug, and I can't understand. One time I was playing with my buddies, and I had pocket aces, and I said, let me guess. You didn't raise with him. You only bet a little bit. Five other guys played in the same hand with you, and at the end, you were like third best hand. How'd you know? How'd you know that? I said, because I play poker. And of course, that's a classic case. The guy had pocket aces, and old school people who don't really understand how to play the game want to have as many people in the pot as possible because they're going to make that a lot of money that way. And of course, it ends up costing them all their cash. So, don't slow play a mediocre hand. You know, aces is mediocre when you're playing against six players.
I'm impressed that you have friends that are on the cast of Maverick. You have to let me know when they're back at the OK Corral.
That's pretty much how he talked. Serious. This is a pretty good impression.
But trapping is much more academic, I think. I mean, it takes a lot more skill. I mean, you're trying to get folks to bet into you and then spring the trap.
Yeah, it involves knowing how they play.
Right.
Right? Knowing how they bet and utilizing that within the hand to say, okay, I'm going to analyze the situation and I know this type of player that will bet or not think I have this type of hand, so I'm going to play it differently and spring it on them at the end. So... Yeah, absolutely.
Any old person can slow play. Takes a real poker player to trap. Properly,
yes, it
does. Right?
Yeah, as Vince Van Patten would say, any a person trapping has to dig the hole and lay the twigs down. And,
and slow players just have to fall in the hole.
That's right. They just fall in the hole and lose their entire bankroll.
You know, like those guys that rob the banks and run outside and fall into the manhole by accident. Picked up the manhole cover to break the window. Boosh.
Or they get outside and they take their masks off, not realizing there are cameras outside the bank as well.
Ah, yes. Yeah, that stripped me up three or four times. All right, well, Terry, we appreciate you calling the hotline. Again, that number is 813-448-1120. You call it, we give you swag, and we're giving Terry a deck of those J-Design playing cards, the official playing cards of Annie Up. Chris, where can people find those?
They can get them at the Annie Up store at annieupstore.com.
Bing! Nice. Very good.
Hey,
first take, Chris.
First take. Somebody owes me $50. Okay, let's see what's going on for our Annie Up News Desk.
All right, a South Carolina Senate panel has advanced to the full Senate a bill that will allow residents to play poker in their own homes. Wow, they're so generous there.
Oh, geez, how nice.
I can play poker in my own home now.
Hey, this really is America.
And in Maryland, bills have been filed to allow table games, including poker, at the state's slot casinos.
Hey, that's big news for us.
yeah, what's going on? It's kind of the domino effect that's going on.
We always kind of list Maryland as something that, you know, we cover the Maryland area, but there's no place for us to send our magazine there, so this would help. This would legitimize our circulation here. So, all right. New online poker advocacy. Hey, finally a word that I stumbled on.
What's going on there?
Advocacy group. Has been formed. The U.S. Online Gaming Association has hired former Poker Voters of America Executive Director Melanie Brenner as President and Executive Director. What does this mean, Scott?
I have absolutely no idea.
Okay, thank you.
But what it means is we have one more poker advocacy group to figure out what it means.
I'm assuming they're going to be pushing for online gaming to be legitimate in the country and regulated and try to do it without a 5,000-year window of blackout or whatever.
At some point, we probably should get our journalistic chops out and kind of wade through all these groups and try to help people make sense of them. Because you got the Poker Players Alliance, which most of our listeners are probably well aware of, right?
Right, right.
And you got the American Gaming Association, which is actually a trade kind of group.
Right.
And then, of course, you had the Poker Voters of America, which is kind of behind some of the interstate bills. And then you got this new U.S. Online Gaming Association, which, since they got the executive director from PVA, I'm guessing they're doing things differently. The PVA.
And they've got that IMGEA whatever the hell that one, right?
They're
that
out
one
there, too. Yeah.
So, yeah, so there's a ton of things. I mean, we should have one of them on the show. Someone who can sift through all of it for us, since we're not that bright.
It's like, you know, scooping the cat litter, man. You know, we got to put our shovel in and see
what
comes out.
That's gross, dude. That is so gross.
All right. Oh, finally, online poker player and former college wrestler Ashton Griffin recently won a bet that he could run 70 miles in a single day, Chris.
Jeez.
Griffin took the short end of the deal, putting up $900,000 to win $300,000 and won the wager by doing 7 10-mile runs on a treadmill. This great story comes from Gary Wise from ESPN.
Wow, that's crazy.
7 10-mile runs on a treadmill.
Oh, my God. How boring was that?
And he had to put up nearly $1 million to win $300,000.
God. And I'm always interested in finding out how they're going to pay it off. Like, are they going to do the $5,000 a month for, you know, 600 months? Or are they going to, you know, I'm always interested in wondering what the payoff is going to be. But that's incredible. You know, that's a prop bet. You know, not waiting in the ocean for 24 hours. That drove somebody insane once. And playing 72 holes of golf in one day and making sure you shoot under 72 for all three rounds. Or, you know, that's pretty, you know, whatever. But 70 miles in one day?
Yeah, and I think he said he had never ran more than 22 in a single day before. So,
God.
I mean, that was 3X thing. And the other interesting thing that came out of this is as soon as they made the bet, and I forgot to write down who actually made the bet with, but they immediately regretted it because essentially – the player that took the wager was wagering in his mind that he would get hurt running 70 miles in a single day and not be able to complete the bet. That's how he's going to win.
Oh, my God.
And then you're in the situation where you're rooting for your friend to get hurt. Now, not a problem for you and me.
We try to hurt each other at the poker table every time.
Yeah, exactly. But it was an interesting little side note in the prop bet thing when you're putting all your eggs in someone, you know, collapsing.
Yeah. I could just imagine a guy standing
right on the bar or something.
You know. Standing right next to the treadmill. You know, like, hey, look out, watch out for that TV. Look out, hey. You know, oh, my God.
Or doing the whole Happy Days thing with the blow dryer and the flower. In their eyes and stuff.
I always wanted to know, how did he get the blow dryer to work? Obviously, they didn't have battery-operated blow dryers back then, and I'm pretty sure they didn't have the kind that plug into a cigarette lighter, if they even had cigarette lighters back in the 50s in their cars.
I think MacGyver was a consulting editor on that particular episode.
Yeah, because, you know, he's like, hey, Shortcake, thanks for here, Fonz, I brought the hair dryer. Thanks, Shortcake. There's no – she's not a scientist or some electrician. She didn't modify it to work inside the car. Oh my
you
God.
Don't know. Maybe her dad's named Simon. And is really smart and can figure that stuff out.
Simon Cunningham.
This is Graham. He's new to Poker Stars. Graham doesn't know it yet, but he's a VIP. He's entitled to claim points against any number of rewards in the Poker Stars VIP program. From PlayStations to plasmas, from Porsches to seats at major on- and offline poker tournaments. You see, he started collecting VIP points the minute he joined Poker Stars as a real money player. Because we don't think you should have to apply or be in the know to earn rewards. He'll be very excited when he finds out. Just you wait and see. Wait for it. Visit PokerStars.com/VIP and find out why all other reward schemes seem just a little, well, inaccessible. PokerStars VIP Club, the best online poker reward program.
All right, Chris, seems like just yesterday we hastily put together a two-week run of tournaments and called it Apes.
It was just yesterday, wasn't it?
Yeah, remember we were sitting around talking about, hey, what should we call it? And then we, I think you came up with the Yanny Up Intercontinental Poker Series, and we shortened it. I'm like, oh, acronym Apes, that's awesome. We can make it monkeys.
Yep, yep.
And then we went crazy with the banana trophies and all those other ridiculous stuff.
That's true. I still remember that in a meeting, too. We sat, like, in an office in the back and, like, wrote it out and everything. That was pretty hilarious.
Well, now we're ready to embark on our sixth season
of
Yanny Up Nation's favorite online poker series.
Crazy.
And as with every year, we try to improve it by making a few tweaks here or there. And no doubt we ruffle some feathers when we do that, but hopefully some of the changes will unruffle other feathers. I'm trying to balance it out. I'm like a sports book here. I'm trying to get the vig right.
I like how in the note you put LOL. What is that? You're so used to typing to me on Instant Messenger and on Facebook that you're typing it into our show notes now.
No, I'm being completely honest that it's almost impossible to unruffle feathers with Apes. We try to make this better every year, and invariably, we never get one email that says, hey, Scott and Chris, good job on Apes.
Yeah, I know.
But we get our 20 emails, oh my gosh, are you guys drinking the Johnny Walker again? How can you mess this thing up?
Oh, man.
But I'm not here to hate today. I'm here to love.
I'll remind you of that later on today.
When the emails start coming in.
Yeah, exactly.
But no, seriously, I think we put together a very good package for Ape 6 here. Made some changes that no doubt will cause a little grief. But we've added a lot of stuff that I think should overcome that.
Should balance it out.
Yes. Balance it out in the plus column. Made a plus positive EV.
Let's get right to it, too. Let's let them know right away what's new.
All right, what's new? First of all, 18 events this year. Actually, no, I'm sorry. That's 20. Look at it. I made mistakes in my own notes.
Wow, 20 no, 20 mistakes or 20 events? Which one is it?
Oh. 20 events, down from 24 last year, but up from 12 in previous years. So
yeah.
Give me credit for that.
Yeah.
And we're fitting it into a standard calendar year there, so it's going to run through December.
All right.
Which is good, because, you know, then we have the 2011 champ, and we can, you know, do stuff in the magazine, because it's in tune with our live series, the Yanny Up Poker Tour.
Right.
And it's kind of compact a little bit. So, you know, we had to trim a little bit, had to get rid of four events to make it work. But I think it's going to work, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, you can never really expect somebody to play every single event. It's
yeah.
Tough for 24 especially, but at least 20 gives them a chance. It's a few fewer, and... But you know, we don't expect you to play everyone anyway, but we hope that you can show up as many as you can.
All right. Now, Chris Duck.
I'm getting ready.
Free rolls. Rest in peace.
Yeah.
Or actually, I should say RIT. Rest in turmoil. They were never peaceful. They'll never be peaceful in the future.
Yeah.
But yeah, we've gotten rid of the free rolls, but we're going to add a once-a-month $1.10 satellite. That'll
yes.
let you get into a one of the events fairly cheap. Here's the thing. We've known the free rolls have been such a chaotic thing ever since Poker Stars suggested them to us. And we're like, yes, that's great. What can go wrong with free rolls?
Right.
Of course, about everything possibly could go wrong with free rolls. Went wrong with free rolls. So even though our new Poker Stars contacted me, it sat down and we actually kind of figured out something, Chris, that I thought might have kind of worked to keep the free rolls. At the end of the day, it was going to be too much work and just not worth it.
And even then, it still could backfire somehow.
You never know. Yeah. So, but here's the thing. People got to understand, too, it's kind of a business thing. PokerStars is being very generous. The money that they used to put in the free rolls, they're still giving to the series in a different way, and we're going to talk about that soon. So really what they're looking to do is get people that are willing to put some money online.
Right.
So, I mean, obviously we don't care about the Russian interlopers at all. But at the same time, we're trying to get kind of nudge people. A little tickle.
Plus,
half the free roll thing to put some money online and play a dollar sign.
Yeah, and this will definitely keep the Russian contingent and whatever other country that is trying to troll through our stuff, and it'll keep them from, because obviously they're clearly doing it just for free. They're not willing to put money up to play in our event. This way, you know, and it's a decent satellite too. Because if you want to get into a, you know, $1,000 satellite, you know, and you play a 10-handed, it's 10-1. But this is still 5-1 on your money, so it's still worth it. And it's a super satellite too, so I would think it's the right price.
All right. Well, we're going to expand the Tournament of Champions this year, Chris. I think this is one of the most exciting parts of this year.
Yeah, absolutely.
Bigger prize money offered by Stars than, you know, last year. They put $500 up for our Tournament of Champions. This year, it's still pending exactly how much they're going to put up, but essentially going to take the money that they put into the free rolls, put it in the Tournament of Champions, and we're going to open up the Tournament of Champions a little bit. It's not going to be crazy, but we're going to open it up to more people, and the best thing about it is the qualification for it. It's any one of our listeners that wants desperately to play the Tournament of Champions, we've given them power to do it with very little effort.
Yeah, absolutely.
So as long as you you know, you're doing you're playing often, you've got a good shot of getting in the Tournament of Champions and getting a shot at what could be a pretty big payday.
Absolutely. And, you know, that's what it's all about, is for us all to be able to play together, you know, at the end, you know, and not just, you know what I mean? It's a better, and considering how many show up for the events, generally, you know, when you see how many can play in the Tournament of Champions, it's going to be right around what, you know, what, how many people show up for our events on average anyway. So it works out to be like a regular event for us.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, we don't have to worry about the free roll money getting wasted, you know, going to
absolutely
folks with characters in their name that I can't recognize. all right. Doc, Chris.
I was wondering if you thought this one was going to create a problem or not. I thought it would, maybe, but I wasn't sure.
Yeah, yeah. I think it might. So probably the rivaling the elimination of the free rolls in the controversial department this year. We're kind of mixing up the schedule a little bit this time, Chris.
Yeah.
You know, here's the thing. In the past, we've always had them on Wednesdays and Saturdays, so people knew on Wednesdays and Saturdays there could be an eight, but you didn't know which Wednesday and Saturday. You actually had to make some effort to check the calendar or something like that, right?
Right.
And then, of course, there were a lot of people that have conflicts on those days. You know, the kids got karate class, or it's a bowling night, or they model nude at the city annex. And they couldn't play at all, so they were essentially locked out of an entire year-long cool part of being the Anti-Ape Nation, right?
Well, the really funny part is that actually was an excuse for someone to miss apes once. But I model nude at the...
Hey, you know, the world needs ditch diggers, too. And you know, it was even worse for me, Chris, is I thought that, you know, because we spent so much time on the show talking about apes, how much fun we had playing in them, and people called in and talk about how cool it is. And if you're one of those people that can't ever play, it's almost like we're taking our two fingers and three stooges right in your eye.
Yeah.
Every week.
Yeah.
And you know, I didn't want that to happen. And I got to say, I also try to make things a little more simple, understanding that not perfect. Can't do both,
no,
right?
No, there's just no way to make it perfect. So.
And I'll go off topic just a little bit. Bear with me, but you know, you and I have a good friend named Dan Puckett.
Yep.
He used to be the style czar at the St. Pete Times, we called him.
Yep.
One that all tells us how to spell different words and how to do things. So, you know, when people read the paper, it's all standard, right?
Yeah, ever since he left, Snuck gets into the paper. So
exactly. That's what happens. And when he redid our style book, what he tried to do was make it easy enough so when you're on the fly, you just have to remember a couple basic rules, and you could probably figure out the right style.
Right.
And to do that, he had to kind of bastardize a couple things, right?
Uh-huh.
Which is, you know, like stuff like hands-on is one solid word.
Right.
Crazy, right?
Right.
But, you know, it's for the better good, right? So here's what we're doing with the schedule. You know, I'm like, hey, it's Ape 6, right? Well, what can we do to make it easy so people don't have to necessarily go to the website or listen to the show or read the magazine to know if it's an Apes event? And then I said, it's Ape 6. Let's do all the events on dates that end in 6.
Yeah, let's come up with a reason so people don't have to read our magazine and don't go on our
exactly.
website and don't listen
I know,
to our show.
I know.
Brilliant marketing, Scott.
I am call me Einstein.
Brilliant marketing.
So it's a way of kind of randomizing. You know, I kind of think of it like the Dan Harrington. You know, how do you know when to bluff? Well, you look down at your watch, and if it's on the 10 till, then you bluff.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So we'll get into the actual how it works out, but now events are going to be held every day of the week at some point, and two different times. So whoever you are, wherever you are, you will be able to play at least in a couple Apes events this year.
I agree.
You're ducking, right?
It's weird. It's like I'm so used to watching
tomatoes to hit me, and then
I'm so used to watching television. I'm waiting for the studio audience to react. That's the problem. No. I'm waiting for them to like boo us or something. But.
Yeah, in that case, we probably move on because we don't react. finally, another really cool thing for Apes. Our good friend Kerry at Blue Shark Optics has signed on as a sponsor this year. Every winner of the 20 Apes events, Chris, not only will get that cherished plastic banana trophy and of course the money and the normal payout structure, but they're going to get a free pair of poker optics from Blue Shark Optics. All of these are worth more than $100 each.
That's huge.
So 20 of those, think of that. Do a little quick math there. He's putting up a lot of money for us, so you're going to get a great pair of poker optics. So it's almost like a free roll in itself.
That's incredible.
Gonna like almost double your prize for most events.
Yeah, I just want to. Right now, I'm going to thank Kerry for that. That's to me, that's just huge. That's incredible.
Absolutely.
I mean, you're playing a $5 tournament, and you can win a $100 pair of awesome glasses that have incredible technology in the lenses. It's awesome.
So you know, put that together with the Star sponsorship, which we're still adding up. We're looking at least a $4,000 overlay for the series this year. Man. And, you know, if you throw in the price of the Nanners, $4,027.65.
God, how far we've come. I mean, we used to take plastic bananas and stuff them into an envelope and let the Times pay for the postage. Now we're...
That minus the Times thing. Though maybe I could send them to work with a wife.
Maybe she could mail them for us.
Yeah.
But, wow. I mean, that's just incredible. $4,000. Dude, that's incredible. And all because we're just dedicated to the listeners and stuff, you know? It's pretty incredible.
And that's what every email nastygram I get is going to be responded to.
That's right. $4,027.65.
Free.
Free. That's all you got to do is put it in the subject line.
No, seriously. We don't know if people are going to complain, and we'll take some suggestions, obviously. But just hope folks that see that we're trying hard to make it really good. Do some good stuff, right?
Right. So let's get a little more into the scheduling thing with the 6. What exactly, how will the events break down?
All right, so every date ending in a 6 will be an Ante Up Apes event. All right, on the 6th of every month will be the $1 satellite that we talked about, right?
Yeah.
On the 16th of every month will be a non-Hold'em Apes event, you know, Stud or Omaha or Draw or something like that. And on the 26th of every month will be an Apes Hold'em event.
What about
mostly
the 36th?
36th, you're going to have to ask William Shatner and Spock.
Oh, my God.
Don't have anything planned for those days right now.
Now, let me ask you, I don't know if we've addressed this yet. What will the free roll get you a spot into?
One, we have no free rolls. Doc?
I mean the satellite.
Yeah, we'll talk about that a little bit later.
Okay,
read the notes before you come on the show.
I did. I'm scanning the notes now, and I don't see it. But I'm going to have to...
The next section, buddy. Next
All
section.
Right, I see it. Okay, satellite.
But, you know, the idea is you go to work or you wake up in the morning and you see, oh, my God, it's the 6th. There must be an Apes event. Oh, it's the 16th. Must be an Apes event. 26th. Sorry, wife. Can't go to dinner tonight. There must be an Apes event. Where before you had to figure out which Wednesday and Saturday. I think it's genius. A couple other people think it's genius, though they're not going to back me up, I'm sure.
I'll go on record and say it's okay.
All right, not genius. All right, I'll take okay. All right, well, the times remain the same. If it's a weekday event, Monday through Friday, they will be at 9 p.m. Eastern, which we've – no one, I think, really complains about. It's the best thing to – get our North American folks together on.
Yeah.
And then weekend events will be at noon Eastern. Again, this is kind of an homage to our foreign listeners and also, you know, for those North American listeners that actually, you know, have a life, go out Saturday night. So, yeah, 9 p.m. on weekday events, noon Eastern on weekend events.
Very good.
All right, we're going to kick off our first satellite. Will be on March 6th. The first actual event will be March 16th. And the last event will be December 26th. And then, of course, we'll have our tournament champions that will be in January of next year.
Whew. That's incredible.
All right, this year we're featuring three stud events, Stud, Raz, and Stud 8. Two Omaha events, Pot Limit Omaha and Limit Omaha 8. Three draw events, Limit Badoogie, No Limit Deuce of 7 triple draw.
No single draw, right?
Single draw.
Yeah, single draw, not triple draw.
No Limit Deuce of 7 single draw.
Right.
Good catch, buddy.
Well, it's just we're so used to saying Deuce of 7 triple draw that it's hard to remember.
We'll talk more about that later,
too. Yeah.
And Pot Limit 5 card draw. Three mixed events, Horse, 8 game mixed, and a Hold'em Omaha half and half.
Cool.
And nine Hold'em only events, which some of them will be straight crappy No Limit Hold'em. But we also have a limit, a pot limit, a heads up, six max, and a rebuy event.
Cool.
So some changes from last year. We eliminated the hose. No offense to firefighters out there. But, you know, when you turn four events, that was the easy one to go. You know, we got Horse, we got eight game mix, we got Stud, Raz, and Stud. You know, you got plenty of places to play those things. Right?
Yep,
you don't need another mixed game.
Right.
Deuce of seven becomes single draw, no limit. Not triple draw, as I said. Single draw, no limit. And I got to tell you, Chris, I'm most excited about this event because this, of all the events on our schedule, I have never played this.
Single draw?
I've never played no limit single draw, Deuce of seven.
You got to attend the home game more often.
We don't play single draw there, do we?
Yeah, Frank's game.
No limit?
Yeah, we've played it a few times.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, you better start showing up more often, buddy.
And then, of course, the Pot Limit Omaha 8 event becomes a limit event this year. And
Thank God.
Yeah,
that's the way it should be played, man.
Yeah, I mean, Omaha High is always better a pot limit game. And Omaha 8 is much better suited for a limit game. So I think what happened last year is I was trying to get more pot limit games, kind of balance it out.
Yeah.
So I'm like, we'll make that pot limit. You know, this year we kind of took care of that by, changing when the hold'em events to pot limit and that half and half thing. So I think we can go back and do it the way it should be.
And you know what else, too? We're adjusting with the times. You know, when you and I travel and we talk to poker room managers, something that's been getting more and more popular is the half and half. The pot limit hold'em or whatever it is, the no limit hold'em and the pot limit Omaha combo. And those games have really been growing in popularity. And a lot of the bigger, like the bigger stakes, too, have been coming out from those games. And I think that's cool that we're going to offer that. That's a cool little way to mix it up and get you to play two really volatile games at once.
And that, of course, is one of our new events. The other one is pot limit hold'em. Though I think we might have done a pot limit hold'em.
I think we have.
So,
yeah.
For some reason, we just squeeze it off of the schedule.
Yeah.
But that'll be new. And, it tests that those poker muscles a little bit. Can't go all in on every hand like some people do in free rolls.
Right.
No names mentioned. All right. And then the other highlight, I think, we're going to end the season with the No Limit Hold'em rebuy event. This will still be the $5 or 50-cent buy-in. So it's still going to be a big money rebuy. You know, we were shocked last year. We were trying to make it the $1 and then a little snafu, and it became the $5. I was surprised at how many people rebought. Still, at $5. And I'm going to expect a wild last event because of this, Chris.
You think so?
It's going to be the final event for you to move up on the Player of Year leaderboard, which is actually going to mean something this year. So I can see some folks throwing some chips around.
Not me, baby. One and done.
So even if you're right below the threshold for making the tournament champions, you're boom.
One and done.
Done. All right. You're so boring.
I know. I'm a boring player. I don't like rebuys, man.
All right. You want to talk about these satellites? I know you were talking about them earlier.
I was just interested in seeing what we could do with them.
All right. As we mentioned, the free rolls are limited. Duck! And, you know, what we're trying to do is just get people to play for money a little bit more. And I think we came up with a good idea. You know, we wanted to do one satellite a month, and our original idea was just to have it so you could pick any Apes event to play in. Right. And it doesn't quite work out with the technology, so I was fretting because I was like a dog with a bone on the sixth thing. And you came to the rescue, Chris, and said, you know what? Let's just do one satellite. It feeds into the non-Hold'em events, which always have a little less participation. And that way, we'll pump up those numbers. And the Hold'em events, people are going to buy in anyhow.
Right.
So it's good. I mean, you got all these dollar satellites will be no-limit Hold'em. So for all you no-limit Hold'em specialists out there, you get to play that. Every month, there'll be a no-limit Hold'em event. And then the end of the month will be so that'll give you a shot to get in fairly cheap into one of these games that maybe you're not so comfortable with. And then at the end of the month, then you can buy in directly to your normal Hold'em event.
Exactly. I mean, I really think that a lot of the reason for the participation's numbers falling a little bit in the non-Hold'em events is because people just, you know, they cherish their online bankroll and they don't want to risk, even if it's $5.50. For a chance of playing a game where they may feel like they're not the best player at their table or whatever, well, now you could do it for a buck, you know, or whatever, and still get in and play. And I hope the numbers do go up for those events, not because I like to play mixed events more than anything else. It's just that I think that, you know, No Limit Hold'em isn't the only game in town. And I think that, you know, our show has always had a special place in our heart for non-Hold'em games. So, yeah, absolutely. I'm hoping this works out.
Doing our part to spread the love.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right, and just a reminder, if you win a seat in that satellite, it's good for only the next event. And, of course, like I said, I mean, not hold them. So, you know, be cognizant of that when you play the free – I almost did it myself.
Yeah, it's almost – it's easy to say.
When you play the satellite that you're playing for the next tournament, and it'll be properly marked on Stars, so you shouldn't have any problem.
Well, all right, I'm sure everyone is waiting with bated breath to hear about the tournament champion. So let's clue them in before they start – you know, throwing their stereos out the car window.
All right, well, we had a great event this year. I thought it was fun. We had, obviously we had 24 bananas. We had some multiple winners. So I think it was less than 20 people actually qualified this year.
Right.
Which is nice. What we wanted to do, though, is expand it a little bit. Not dilute it, but expand it a little bit. Give folks some reason to believe that they can be part of it. Get a shot at that big payday the Stars is putting up. So we're expanding it to 48 invited players this year, Chris. It will be 8-game mix like last year, so we're playing six-handed, so that'll be 8 tables. And here's how you get an invite. One, you win a banana. All right, so just like last year, all 20 banana winners, right, automatically in.
Right.
So if you're playing and you win a banana, you don't have to worry about it, you're in. Plus you got the pair of those Blue Shark optics and that banana trophy, and a lot of change in your pocket as well,
right,
too. So.
Right.
But let's say you suck at poker, all right? Maybe you're like Chris and I, all right? You have no hope of ever winning a banana. You're still a shot that you can get in the Tournament of Champions if you play in at least 18 of our 20 events. Now, the satellites don't count, so the actual 20 events for Apes, if you play in 18, 19, or 20 of them, you're in. See, we're rewarding people for their dedication.
So there's no cap on the amount of people that can play in the Tournament of Champions, right?
Well, we'll see. At this point, we looked at last year, and we shouldn't have more than 28 people.
Okay.
Play 18 to 20. If so, then we'll have to revisit it.
But okay.
Right now, I don't think it's gonna be a problem.
I'm just saying, because you cap it.
It's gonna be a challenge this year. I think one of the things that that our folks that didn't like the six idea was, you know, they like to, hey, you know, I just block out Wednesday and know that's Apes.
Right.
Now that you're going to have to be on the ready,
yeah,
every night of the week. So it's going to be a little tougher, I think. But, you know, if you're dedicated enough, boom, you're in.
Okay.
We're going to have a very few limited sponsor exemptions and pass those out judiciously. I think probably off the top of the head, Kerry, since he's given us like $2,400 in free stuff, probably deserves a shot at a $2,000 prize pool. And of course, Poker Geek MN. Have you seen the stuff that he's been doing on the website, Chris?
Yeah, it's pretty incredible.
Absolutely amazing. I think at this point he might qualify for a sponsoring exemption. And if anybody argues with me on that, you can do what he does. Good luck. Have fun. And then if we still have spots left, we're going to go down the Player of the Year leaderboard based on points. fill out those last spots. So,
The ones who haven't won a banana and who haven't played in all those events, but they're on the leaderboard, they'll get rewarded for that.
Absolutely, yeah. Absolutely. And that's going to be a fluctuating number depending on how many seats we have left. But but still, you know, three great reasons to play every event. One, if you win the banana in, great. Two, if you don't win a banana and you're playing often, you're going to get in, great. And if not, then you're probably racking up points and have a third way of getting in.
Yes, very good.
All right, and then, of course, we mentioned the Stars that put up that big overlay. When we get the actual total back from them, when they approve it, we'll let you know. But it is going to be on par with the amount of money they've given the Antioch Nation the last 2 years overall with
very
the
cool
seats.
Very cool. And, of course, you know, we'll have all this information on antiochmagazine.com/apes, AIPS. And I think we're going to update our Google Calendar as well.
Yeah, I got to get our friends out there that actually did the Google Calendar to do it, since I'm not smart enough to do it.
and in a big shock, the password for all of our events will be AnteUp2011, all one word.
Should be easy to remember. Never is. We sent all the information off to Stars, so give us some time before they get them all programmed into the website. But as soon as we see them up there, we'll let you know on the show.
Hi, this is Greg Raymer, better known as the Fossil Man, and you are listening to Annie Up.
Of course, Chris, the best part of being Player of the Year in Apes is you get to come on the show.
That's right. We get to have you on the show and get to find out what makes you tick.
You're 14 minutes of fame. We're not quite worthy of 15 yet, but this year we're giving that 14 minutes to Edward McDonald, our Player of the Year. He's been waiting patiently in our green room, which is probably a room at his house that hopefully is green. But Edward, thanks for joining us and congratulations.
Thank you, Chris and Scott. It's great to be on the show.
You know, we were thinking about renaming the award the McDonald's, but there were some infringements there that we didn't want to step on, and we didn't want Morgan Spurlock to do some sort of documentary about us, so we decided against it.
Yeah, plus we can't afford a dollar for bananas either, so we can't qualify for the dollar menu.
The dollar menu.
Set menu, yeah.
But really, it was just an incredible run early on and then throughout the season. Just absolutely incredible. Congratulations.
Thank you, thank you. I was gonna say, I mean, one of the things kind of helped push me in doing this. This was me and you kind of shared something this year, Chris. This was my 40th birthday, also.
Oh man!
So when I won the first one and then I won the second one back to back, I really sat down and I was like, and I looked at Poker Geek stacks from last year. I was like, I've got a shot if I can keep doing good. And I was like, this is gonna be my challenge for this year, the 40th birthday year. I'm gonna try to be Player of the Year.
All right, I'm going to give you guys his and her walkers then, you know, because I'm only 39.
So. Well, you know, now it kind of depresses me because I have nothing that inspires me for my 40th year.
All right, well, Edward, in the classic tortoise and hare fashion, you won 4 of the first 7 events, probably the most impressive accomplishment ever in Apes. But you still had enough gas in the tank to outlast the pack. And I know you said you were inspired by the 40th birthday, but seriously, how did you start so strong?
Well, I mean, I don't know. I mean, I've been playing No Limit Hold'em now for probably about 10 years. I mean, it is one of my favorite games, and I have to thank you all guys because you have encouraged me to spread out to playing other games. I mean, it was kind of funny. I mean, I was actually broke on Poker Stars, and I had a friend when Ape started this year. I missed the first one, the stud event, and I had a friend of mine put some money in for me, and I was like, well, I'm going to put – there's 2 No Limit Hold'em games coming up. I was like, I want to play in those, and I was like – if I don't do good, then so be it, you know. And then I won the first one, and I was like, cool, you know. I was like, I got to play the second one because it was No Limit Hold'em again. And then I won it, and I was like, I said, that's when I was kind of got motivated. And I was like, I looked at Poker Geek stats, you know, how many he won, how many times he cashed from the year before. And I was like, if I can, it's still early in the year, if I can keep going a good run, I was like, I think I've got a good chance of making it.
Well, of course, you said, you know, 3 of your 4 bananas were in No Limit Hold'em, so that's obviously your best game. But how important was it to get that No Limit Specialist monkey off your back and win that Badoogie event?
That was a very special night, I have to say. I mean, I was not really a great Doogie player. I mean, I actually wound up, I give Poker Geek credit here also, I actually wound up the night that that game was happening, I was actually having to travel with work to our plant in Virginia, and I was actually working late that night and didn't think I was going to make it back to the hotel in time to play Apes, and it just happens we got done in time, got wrapped up, I went back to the hotel, you know, wasn't really a lot going on. It's a small little community there in Virginia, and I logged in, and Poker Geek, I actually had saw once on his blog, he had an article about Badoogie, and I sat down and read it. I had about a half hour, an hour before the tournament started, and I read through that and everything, and then being in the hotel, I didn't have no disturbances, you know, family or anything hollering at me or anything like that, so I was able to kind of concentrate on watching the people play and what was going on, seeing what kind of hands people were trying to hit for, making highs, you know, and not chasing a lot of stuff. And I mean, really, for me, it was real impressive because, like I said, I was not that familiar doing Badoogie, and to be able to walk away win that one was really great for me.
I know that Poker Geek now regrets putting that article on his site.
Yeah, it's probably yanked and deleted right now.
And of course, you know, I feel like he just got kicked in the stomach. I mean, the guy just shows up, Chris, reads an article, and wins the thing.
I know, it's crazy. Absolutely crazy.
We have no chance of ever beating him.
It's reminiscent of Jen Harmon learning how to play No Limit triple draw like a minute before she starts and she wins the bracelet.
Well, like I said, I won't say I didn't know. I knew what kind of hands I wanted to make. You know, I knew, you know, I didn't want to have, you know, three of the same suits. But reading his article, like I said, it was touched on yours interviews with Raymer some when he was talking about Badoogie, you know, and, you know, hands to draw for and the odds and stuff. Like I said, it was an interesting article, I thought.
That's great.
All right, well, you cashed in two more events, back-to-back third and second place finishes, also in No Limit events. I got to ask, had you won those two, would your hometown be erecting a Rocky-esque statue of you right now?
I don't know. I think some of my poker friends around here I play with thinks I might be driving them crazy right now, telling them all year long with the stats, like, guys, I'm so close. If I can just hang on to the end of the year. Like, I'm fighting tooth and nail trying to stay in first place.
Well, you know, something else people might not know is your other final table, too, was an event three pot limit Omaha. So you really started amazingly strong.
Yeah.
Oh, I know. And really, what people don't know on the pot limit Omaha is right when we were close, I went out on the bubble, and they were, and like I said, I have to say that since then, I've been doing more reading about pot limit Omaha, and actually right now I'm loving playing pot limit Omaha 8 or better a lot more. I'm actually, that's kind of gotten to be what I've been playing here recently, cash games, but there was a hand right when we were at the bubble. Like I said, I didn't know as much as I know now. I probably would have played it, you know, back now if I knew what I know. But there was a hand where I was like, oh, I can't remember who it was. Somebody raised. I knew this person. He'd only been raising with pocket aces. And I was like, oh, he's got pocket aces again. I just 99% sure he's got aces. And I had something. I can't remember what it was, two cards and two eights. And I was like, oh, that's not a great connector. So I'm folding. Well, I folded, and the flop comes 8-8 something. And I was like, oh, I would have had quads. And there was like three people just like raising and re-raising. And I was like, dude, I would have like crushed this hand for the high. You know?
Well, it'll sadden you to learn that we've eliminated PLO 8 from the Ape schedule. So sorry about that.
Oh.
Hey, we got to do something to even the playing field, right?
That's fine. Like I said, I know, like Scott says, you know, on the forum there, he posted, I mean, you know, it's hard to make everybody happy, you know?
Yeah.
You do your best, you know?
Well, one of the things that was even almost as impressive as that you won all these events was that you only missed one event out of 24 this season. What was so important that you couldn't score perfect attendance this year? Was there a baby being born, a bar mitzvah, what, the American Idol finale? What's the deal?
No, I have to, like I said, I was broke. I mean, literally, I had no money in my PokerStars account when it first started, and the first event was stud, and really, and like I said, like the other stuff, I actually, I read a book, well, it's kind of funny, I read the book on stud, high, low, and Raz. I just happened to find it at Hastings, one of our local bookstores here in my town. And I bought it from the last event before the Tournament of Champion because that was my weakest event, and I flew through and read it. And it was a nice little beginner's book, kind of got me feed a little more in stud, and helped me a ton, I think, in the Tournament of Champions, being able to get where I could cash in it. But that's the reason I didn't play the first event, was just that I didn't have no money in Poker Stars, and stud wasn't really was nowhere near my best game. You know, I knew what to do, you know, I knew how it's dealt and how to play it, but I just it's not my first choice to play. And like I said, that's when I saw the two no-limb hold'ems. I had a friend of mine. I was like, hey, will you transfer me some cash over if I give you some money so I can play these two no-limb hold'em games?
Yeah,
so after that, I have to give credit to my wife and daughter. I mean, they've been great this year letting me, you know, skip out on a couple of little family things and doing stuff so I could make all the events, you know, because like I said, I knew Poker Geek, you know, and everybody else that was like chasing me so close for Play of the Year. I mean, any game it could have swung the other way, you know, where they could have caught up or passed me, and I was trying my best every game to play in there to see if I could get any points to help me keep in the lead.
Well, we're gonna have to call your wife and tell her to be a little more strict with making you do things around the house or whatever. So we have a better chance of winning one of these things.
Well, I have to say, she's kind of glad that this season is over with, and probably hoping I don't go on strong of a run next year.
All right. Well, we've talked a lot about Poker Geek, man, tonight. Obviously, coincidentally, was your closest competitor for the title this year, finished second. But he runs our great Apes Player of the Year site, and amazing amount of information on there. And when I was looking you up for this interview, it says your all-time return on investment in Apes is 217.89%.
God.
So you got any stock tips for us? What do you put your money in?
Yeah, I tease some of the friends at work. Or one of the guys at work actually keeps asking me. He's like, you know, can I invest in you? Can I give you $5 and you win and give me what you win?
So tell you what, we know a lot about your poker now, but tell us a little bit about yourself. Like, where do you live and what do you do for a living and your family and that kind of thing?
Well, I know it drove you crazy, Chris, but it is pronounced Louisville here where I live. And I have to say that me and a lot of friends and my wife all got a fun kick when you were like, you know, going crazy. They're going, this is a pro and he's making fun of us by making him say the name of the city wrong. And, you know, we all had like a great laugh because it isn't. And there's a town actually next to us. It's spelled Marysville.
Right.
Which probably most everybody would say is Marysville.
Right.
But around here, it's Maryville.
Oh, man.
Awesome.
I was like, if I ever get back on there, I'll have to like get him with this one because he'd be like, man, you're messing my head now.
It's really. You don't pronounce the S in Louisville, or you do, but you don't. And oh, my God, that's just. I can't even tell. I'm going to implode right now.
But not like I said, I'm married. I have a lovely wife and one daughter, Riley. Like I said, I'm an electrical engineer. I work for a local company here where we make disposable razors for shaving.
Wow.
Excellent.
How did I know you were an engineer? I mean, all the great players are either former engineers or current engineers or computer guys. It's incredible.
I think it helps in the math a little bit.
Yeah, I guess so.
Yeah, I think you need to send a free sample to Chris because you don't want to see what he does with electric razor. Much better for my sanity what he's using as a
The hotel for. Rooms of America will thank you.
All right, well, you said you've been playing for about, 10 years now, right? How did you get started playing poker? What got you into the game?
Well, when I first started playing, like I said, about 10 years ago, my wife—well, then we were just dating—would be my wife. Her brother-in-law and some friends of his, they'd get together, like, on weekends. You know, it was before any of us really had kids, you know, when we still had a life and go out and do stuff, you know. And we'd get together a lot of times at their house on the weekends, watch, like, a basketball game, football game, or something like that. And a lot of times later in the night, everybody'd, like, whip out their change, and we'd start playing, like, just, you know, just your home game, AC Ducey, you know, 4-4-2, baseball, you know, low Chicago, high Chicago, just all your crazy wild card games, you know, where you just, you know, there's no telling what's hands are going to be dealt, and everybody's, you know, been drinking, so you can't really tell what they actually have or if they know what they have. So I got to doing that for quite a while, you know, and that was pretty fun. And then one night, there's a bunch of guys, we were just hanging out, a friend of ours was in from Nashville, and he was like, you know, he said, I wouldn't mind playing some cards tonight. And this is when Texas Hold'em had really started getting popular, you know, after Chris Moneymaker and everything. We were like, well, hey, why don't we go over to a friend's house here and we'll play No Limit Hold'em. So we went over there and we started playing. There's about 9 of us. And I wasn't that great at the time. You know, I knew what to do and what stuff like that. And I was going along pretty good. And it got down to the end, me and another guy, we're playing against each other. And it was kind of funny because I had to suck out the first time to win, and it's like I had pocket jacks, and I still remember this first hand I ever, you know, won this tournament here. I had pocket jacks, and he pushed all in. I called, and he had like a queen nine or something like that, and he flopped a queen, and I'm like sitting there thinking to myself, I was like, oh, he's going to knock me out. I can't believe I've done this great all this way. I'm going to suck out, you know, on the turns like a blank, and I'm like, I can't believe I lost, and then I spiked the jack on the river, you know, to win.
God. Well, you know, they say all the great players win their first tournament they ever play in, so.
Yeah, that's true.
So let me ask you, do you know, obviously you talked about the home game and stuff. Do you have a home game? Do you play live, or do you just play online?
Yeah, we have a bunch of friends of ours. Like I said, that little game that we had, like I said, there were about six or eight of us, and it was one of those things where if one or two people were sick or couldn't come over, you never had enough people to play. Well, it started growing from there because people I worked with, we'd be talking, and they'd be like, hey, I'd like to play poker. And it's like, well, we're going to play this night. We do right now. We have like a monthly game we get together. There's probably anywhere. It ranges depending on, you know, what people have going on with their family and everything. It can be anywhere from about 14 to 18 people. And we'll get there once a month and play like a little no-limit hold'em game.
Well, that's the one thing I miss about working at the St. Petersburg Times is Scott and I could pick from a pool of fish to come and play in our game and try to learn them. Now that we work on our own, it's like, you know, we just invite ourselves to our own game. It's kind of boring.
Well, that's ours. I mean, it's funny because, like, majority of the people, we always play in this one neighborhood here in Knoxville because there's always somebody's willing to host it because they love being able to have in their neighborhood. That way they can all just walk from their houses right over to where they're sitting at. You know, and, like, you know, 30%, 40% of them actually is trying to play, you know, and do good and stuff. And the other people are just there, have a good time, drink, watch the game on TV, whatever's going on, you know, because we have one, you know, we always make fun of Dan, you know, he's always getting drunk and it's always like, you know, I bet the blacks. And we're like, what? He's like, yeah, the black chips. All the black chips. Like, oh, damn, you know. He's always string betting, you know. It's like, yeah, here and this much more. And we're like, Dan, you can't do that. It's a string bet. Just say raise, you know.
Now, obviously, there's no casinos in Tennessee. What's the closest place if you wanted to go actually play in a casino? And do you make this trip up?
North Carolina, Cherokee.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So the Poker Pro table's there, right?
Yeah, yeah. I've been there once. I mean, it's not a bad place. I mean, it's actually kind of fun. There's not a lot of stuff in the area to do. It's like on kind of a little Indian reservation thing there. But, yeah, it's like just they have the Poker Pro table. So no deal. They slide in like a 10th player in the spot there.
So I always want to ask this of our player of the year, and this is our last question for you. How did you become part of the Antiup Nation? How did you find us?
Well, that's kind of funny, you know. It's like I said, when I first started playing, you know, I ran into that bad habit that everybody does after they played for a while. They try to learn more. So, you know, I started reading some books. You know, I got like Super System and some other books. And my wife bought me for a birthday present a iPod. And I got to find the podcast, and I just started doing like search. I was like, poker. And that's when I found y'all at the St. Petersburg Times, your link on that.
Awesome.
And I listened to a couple shows way back in the early days, and I mean, really, your guys' show is so much, I mean, it reminds me so much of my home game, you know. It's like two close friends, you know. I mean, I'm not sure how long y'all have known each other, I think, since you've been working together. But it's like, you know, just reminds me a lot of our home game, you know, people just cutting up, having a good time, you know. And it's very informative, too. I mean, I know you guys always going about, you know, you don't know a lot, but, I mean, really, you do teach a lot.
Oh, I'm blushing. This guy was going to say, oh, shucks. That's his favorite thing when anybody passes him a compliment. Well, thanks, man. We really appreciate it. We're really proud to have you as part of our nation.
Well, thank you, guys. Like I said, I'm very proud to, like I said, be the winner this year. And like I said, I like to thank everybody for, you know, taking part in it.
That's great. Are you going to stick around for our Hand of the Week?
Sure, I'd be glad to. I don't know how much advice I can be, but I'd be glad to help out.
Well, believe me, anything you offer is better than what I have to say. So.
Oh, shucks. All right, the Hand of the Week this week comes from one of our longtime listeners, Chris. Dave from New York. He goes by DJM182
yes.
online. And this comes from an online No Limit Hold'em tournament on a site not affiliated with Antiup. Eventually, everybody will come to the good side.
The light side.
Yeah, maybe he just didn't have any money on Stars and had to play on the site until he got somebody to transfer him some money so he could go on a tear. That's
yeah,
probably
yeah, obviously that's all it takes is somebody to give you some money and then you can probably win a few events.
It happens, you know. All right, very early here. We're at the 2040 level. It's probably actually even the first level, probably. Most everybody has the starting stack of 3,000. And we have 1, 2, 3 folds. Before we look down at 10 of diamonds, ace of hearts, also known as the Cosenza. Now, I know what Chris would do here because he's incapable of throwing his hand away, Edward. But what would you do with this situation with three folds in front of you?
And how many is a six-handed game?
It's a nine-handed game.
Nine-handed? Probably 3X raise, I'd say.
Man after my own heart.
Let's hope not. Let's hope he has a bigger heart than you.
I mean, nobody's raised in front of you, so I mean, you gotta like show a little bit of strength here, you know, see at least where you stand at. I think.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, I think we all agree, and that's what our hero did. And he said, "Pretty standard here." We totally agree. Gets three folds out of the way, and the big blind is gonna call us.
Okay. Are you waiting for some incredible wisdom for either one of us on that? There's nothing you can say about
just,
that.
It's just Ed's first time, and maybe he's more talkative than you are. I guess not. All right, so move on. All right, now what he said is what he knows of this player is the big blind's a very strong player with a track record of multi-table tournament success. He's tight. He's smart. He's selectively aggressive, just like Scott Long.
But shouldn't he re-raised it then, like to, you know, something with a nine at the end?
Yes. Well, you know, that hasn't quite caught on yet. I'm still working on that.
I've been doing some research on online tells, and a lot of the websites that have guys writing about them, they say that that's a particularly weak move, by the way. I just want to let you know.
Move putting nines on
Putting nines on, like, eights to make the stack look bigger is just a weak move, they say.
Yeah, well, you know, I'm a pretty weak player. So.
Just wanted you to know that I have been looking for that recently.
All right, well, obviously it's not a lot we can say here, but he's at the big blind. He's taking a flyer on our raise, and the flop comes 10 of hearts, 3 of spades, 6 of spades, and our opponent checks to us.
Okay, Edward, I'm going to let you know right now that whenever we have someone else helping us with the hand of the week, I pretty much go to sleep, so it's going to be all on you to make the first comment every time.
Poke him with a stick, Scott, so we can wake him up. Well, I mean, we hit top pair, got top kicker.
Top.
I mean, worst thing we can worry about, you know, so you got two spades. If so, he's chasing. I mean, I think we have to, you know, try to see where he's at. I say probably, you know, making maybe close to a pot-sized bet.
Okay, I think the pot, if my math is correct, which it often isn't, is about 260. Yeah, so you're going to go 260 here, right?
I'd say like 200, maybe 220, somewhere like that.
I agree. I agree, by the way. I'm not sleeping. I would bet about 2/3 to 3/4 the size of the pot here. So I agree.
I mean, I think this should tell you, you know, what maybe put him, at least help you put him on a range of hands.
Yeah.
All right. Well, hero bets 160. Too little?
For a flush draw, yeah, because then he's getting at least 2 to 1 his money. And, yeah. You know what I mean? Probably.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, if he calls, then yeah. I mean, you're not really sure. I mean, you probably going to definitely think he's going to flush draw, and you're giving him the price to call.
All right, well, our hero says he tends to favor bets on the lower end of the half to three-fourth size pot range to control the pot size. He says he finds that this is advantageous in marginal situations.
Hmm.
I mean, I guess the thing I'd be worried about, too, if he's got, you know, two overs, like a king, queen, or something like that, you know, you might be getting price two to try to draw to hit one of those.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. If he has a king, queen of spades, too, you're in a lot of trouble here. So I would have bet a little more.
All right. Well, our hero calls.
Our hero calls or the big blind calls?
I'm sorry. I'm going to be the big blind's going to be my hero. How's that? No, the villain calls. And what do we make out of this? We obviously think we bet a little less. We're not buying into our hero's advantage in marginal situations plan, right?
Right, our spidey senses are going up. I think we have to really see what happens on the turn now. This is the best part about being in position, right, Ed?
Yeah. I mean, you're last act. I mean, you've seen that he's called now, so you gotta put him on a range. You gotta put him on maybe some over cards, like I said, maybe king queen, maybe a king jack, maybe even an ace king or ace jack, ace queen, something that he's not worried about. You know, if you've got a pair of tens that he knows if he can hit, you know, and you haven't really put that much into the pot to scare him off yet, so he knows that he's got a chance, you know, winning a good sized pot.
Now, given that this is according to what DJ says, this guy is a pretty good player, and multi tables and everything. So, given that, he probably wouldn't want to be out of position with a hand like ace-king or ace-queen or something, right? He probably would re-raise with that hand pre-flop, no? Or do you think he would smooth call and be out of position, given that he's a good player?
Well, I think he's maybe slowing it just because we raised pre-flop and he is out of position.
Okay.
I mean, he could be worried about a pocket pair against us. I mean.
Okay.
All right, well, our hero says at this point he does not think there's an overpair in play, nor does he think there's a straight draw in play. His possible exceptions would be the 7-8 of spades or the 8-9 of spades.
Hmm. Interesting. I mean, I when people make comments like that, I always want to know what leads them to that. He says, I don't believe it, but they never tell you why they think that. Why wouldn't you think it's something of it? Is it because of the way you played preflop? Or I'm curious why they think that way.
Well, I'm not so sure. I mean, I can eliminate an overpair, I think, right? I think an overpair probably would have raised preflop, might have bet out on the flop, or certainly raised on the flop with the two spades. So I think it's probably safe to eliminate those, right?
Yeah, I'd say those are probably safe to eliminate because, I would even a check raise or something here on the flop, would think.
Yeah.
And then the straight draws are really probably minimal. I mean, we'd be like a 2-5, 4-5, maybe. I guess maybe that's possible. So I don't know. I guess I'm on Team DJ here on the range he's narrowing them down here.
Okay.
Chris is okay is his way of saying I totally don't agree.
Well, no, what I'm saying is that
we're not going to waste any time because you're just going to keep sounding stupid. Like, so I'm going to save you here, buddy, by encouraging you to move on with the hand.
I don't disagree with you, Scott. I just mean, like, if he had ace king or if he had king queen, if he had ace king especially, I think he would have re-raised. I don't think he would have just called.
Well, those are over cards, not over pairs.
Right. No, I'm saying so. If he didn't have ace king and didn't re-raise, I don't know how he would have played jacks. I mean, I don't know, but I'm just saying. I'm just trying to eliminate what he could or couldn't have. But yeah, no, you're right. I think jacks would have either re-raised or definitely would have check raised here. So a call seems to me like a monster hand, like a set of threes or two spades.
You don't take two over cards?
Oh well, two overcard spades could be in the mix. Yeah, I'm just.
I think even two overcards without spades could probably.
Maybe I don't know. If you miss a flop by this and you're still out of position, you're just hoping to hit, and the guy, well, I mean, 160 is.
Yeah, but
a lot,
you got a standard continuation bet that actually was a little smaller than you would expect, and I don't know. I mean, you might want to see where this guy can, how many bullets he's going to fire.
Well, let's look at it this way, and just Ed, help me out here with the math, okay? The pot was like 260, and now you've bet 160. So that's, what, 420. So now you have to call 160 to win 420 to try to hit six outs. That's not, if that's what your outs are, just two overs, it's not a fundamental.
But I'm not saying necessarily that you have to hit those outs either. I mean, if you have a standard pre-flop raise, it could be anything, and then you take a standard C-bet, I mean, we could be ahead here with ace-king, ace-queen, ace-jack right now.
You're out of position, though. And you know what I mean? It's not like you're floating.
Yeah, but I mean, if he's going to keep the bet size so small to keep me in, it's early in the tournament. We got big stacks here.
Yeah. I don't know. Ed, you're not helping me out here.
Yeah, I know. That's what I was sitting there thinking. I was actually thinking, a friend of mine, this always seems like a hand he usually runs in a lot of times, telling me about where the guy winds up at the end having, four or five, spades and makes a flush, and he's like, how did the guy call my raises and everything,
Yeah.
But, I mean, I would think if he had two overs and thought we missed it, that he might try check raising us at least, some, especially after we looked weak on the flop, at least try to help maybe define, did we miss? And
I just think a call with two overs here, a check call, is very weak. And if this guy's as good as he says he is, I just don't put him on that. I mean, I could be wrong. End of the hand, you're going to say, he's got key queen.
You could be right. But, I mean, I guess where I'm thinking, this is very early in the tournament. We think it's probably still the first level, I think, right?
Right.
You're trying to feel out how people play, and the best thing to do is to make an investment, a small investment in chips, to maybe try to get this hand to showdown so you get some more information out of it. And if you have two overs, then you're really not that bad in doing it. I mean, if this is later in the tournament when chips are much more valuable, then obviously you've already got your information. But at this point, if I can get the showdown fairly cheap with a hand that has showdown value, then I'm going to try to do it to get some information.
I would totally agree with that if I was in position. Being out of position, I just feel like that's a waste of chips, and that you, in no limit hold, this isn't limit hold'em, which sounds a lot like you're talking like a limit player, because two overs for one more bet, it's not that big of a deal. You always call the flop with two overs, one more bet, try at the turn, but in this case, he's betting four times what the minimum bet would be, so it's not one more bet, and you have to worry about future street bets. So if you were in position, you could float. Right, that's one thing. So that's why.
You're right. But let's just assume for a minute that he's a faithful listener of the Antiup Nation, Antiup podcast, right?
Right.
And he loves Lee Childs, like we all do, right?
Right.
What happens if we make this call now? Now we put some doubt in the player, the aggressive mind, and maybe he checks the turn now to control the pot. Now we get to the river for free.
Hmm.
Well, he could also maybe.
I'm not saying you should count on that, but it could happen, right?
What, Ed?
I was going to say he could maybe also be trying like what they call a stop and go, right, where he's just calling now and he may try to take the pot away from us on the turn if another scare card, like another spades, hits.
Right, he could just bet out into you after that. Yeah, there's so many scenarios that we could put here that I think we're overthinking a $5 tournament.
We'll go back and think about it when we have all the information.
Yeah, let's hear the turn.
All right, the turn's the four of hearts. So our border now is the ten of hearts, tray of spades, six of spades, four of hearts. So some crazy little straight draw might have got there, but if not, we've got two flush draws working against us. And our opponent checks to us.
What do you think, Ed? You got to lower the hammer now or what?
I can't be scared, thinking he's playing like a 5-7 or, a 2-5. So, we got away the first time, making a little small bet at the pot, and he called. I think this time you got to definitely make maybe a pot-sized bet. Now you got a possibility of two different flushes being out there.
Yeah.
You ever got to put him to the test. If you get him to call, then you know that he's chasing something. He's got either a straight or a flush draw, or get him off the hand.
Yeah, the pot's, what, 580 now, right? So what do you bet?
I'd probably go about close to 580, probably. Maybe 500 to 540.
Okay. I agree with that. I'm always fearful of in these hands of the weeks. It's when you're playing live, I'm not fearful of it, but when I'm these hands of the weeks and it always ends up coming up bloody at the end, I'm always afraid of it being a set. But, I would probably do the same thing. I'd probably bet like 500.
All right, well, our hero bets 300. He says he's still thinking his head, and he didn't think that this four completed anything for the villain.
Hmm. Well, I'm thinking if I was the other player, the villain, and I had a flush draw, I would probably call, because I'm calling 300 to win 880. So I'm getting almost 3-1 of my money to make a flush, so I'm going to call.
Or even if you didn't have a flush draw, you could call that and represent it.
Right.
If it hit.
Right, if it hit.
Which is kind of, we talk about the advantage of being in a position. This is one of those situations where I think you can reverse that strength now.
Yeah.
If you just keep calling, you're setting out a very believable storyline that you've got a flush draw, and then when the flush hits, boom.
It's a good point. And the other thing, too, is sometimes that comes back to bite you, too, though, when that person that was betting into you keeps betting with a flush draw that you're trying to represent, and then you raise, and he's got the flush, and then...
Yeah, but that happens far less likely than being able to represent it to a person that just, make him go, oh, my God, I can't believe I got there again.
Well, I don't think I agree with the 300, though. I think it should be more than that. I think if he is on any kind of draw, and even if he does have the Scott Long thinking of two overs, he may still call and try to steal it. So that doesn't seem like a big enough bet to me. But
no, I think if I'm the villain, I'm probably – if I'm on a flush draw, I'm calling that because I know that I'm getting away from it on the river if I don't make my cards,
Yeah. That's a good point.
All right, well, we bet the 300, and our villain raises to 775.
Nice. Okay, here's where I stay quiet, Ed, and you can tell me what to do.
Man, that's got you confused. Did he play like a 5-7 or some crazy hand?
It just feels like pocket sixes or threes now. I hate that.
It seems real likely that that's what we're up against now.
Maybe
Jack. It's a solid player. He probably was willing to play the odds that the flush got there, and if he even did, that we didn't have the flush.
He could detect weakness in that we only have top pair and that we might lay a hand down by the way we've been betting. That is the other thing. And this guy's a really
good player.
The fact that
we've only been willing to commit 460 on two streets,
So that's another thing that comes into play here. And since you're online, you don't have all the world time in the world to decide, so... I don't know. I certainly don't want to go broke with one pair. That's for sure.
Yeah. That's the scary part. Yeah. If he's got over cards, if he's got queens or jacks, pocket queens or pocket jacks, Did he try to maybe just slow play us, make sure we weren't going to suck out on the turn?
You could be drawn dead here, too. I mean, you literally could, even if you did call, and what do you hope for on the river? Any heart, any spade comes, you don't know where you are. Any seven or eight comes, straights get there. You know what I mean? One straight's already there. I don't know. I don't know what to root for here if I did call. And if I re-raised, you're looking at your whole stack, possibly, and you could be woefully behind or two outs. You know, it's I don't know. I don't know what I'm hoping for.
Yeah, I mean, he said this guy's a tight, smart player, so I don't know. It's awful early in the tournament. I don't know. I might have to let this one go.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a good... I don't think you can go wrong letting it go.
All right. Well, our hero does take as much time as he can, lets the clock run down, makes the call. Now, what he says is he said the villain raised about a fourth the size of the pot, and he has three options here. He thinks he can fold. It's possible, but it's unlikely. The villain has two pair on this board. No credible draws are there. Only behind 3-3, 4-4, 6-6, and the unlikely 10-10. Hard to stomach a fold. You guys seem to think we could fold. I kind of agree that I could probably get away from this.
Yeah.
Yeah, man, we still have a lot of money left. And, I mean, like Chris said, just to put all our faith in a pair of 10s, I don't know, just knowing what we know of the guy, I mean, a little scary when he wakes up like that and bets so much.
Yeah.
But, I mean, this could be, like I said, this could be the sit and go. I mean, he could have been just calling on the flop and then trying to shove us here on the turn thinking that we've not hit nothing.
All right, well, the second option, he said, is obviously the call. He says sometimes a call is here is good as it will induce a check on the river and lead to a cheaper showdown, but it also yields control of the hand.
Yeah, I don't like calling. I'm either going to fold. I'm just going to fold. I don't think you can raise here.
Yeah, raising
is your whole stack, essentially. So I really think I'm folding. I really can't call here. I'd have to fold. I mean, if you call, you're only calling because you're hoping that you're going to get the showdown. But this guy's raising on a turn. He's not going to check the river. He's not checking the river. So,
if it's a weaker player, maybe. I mean, I see a lot of players do this. They're like, I'll check raise here. And then, you caught me, and I'll check on the river. But we obviously know that this player is not a weak player.
Yeah.
So to think that we're going to get to see showdown free is probably unlikely. And to see it cheap, I doubt that as well, too.
Yeah, I'm folding.
All right, well, then the third option is obviously to raise. He says any reasonable raise here puts more than half his stack in the pot. He says he could still get away if it's re-raised or if there's pressure on the river. I don't know. What do you think about that?
We're
still half in. I mean, it's still 20-40. I mean, that's plenty of chips for me to play with, but I know other players would consider it a huge failure to lose half their chips on this hand, not be able to get away from it.
Yeah, I don't think I can re-raise. I mean, you got possibility of two flush draws. You know, could either have two hearts or two spades. I mean, you still could hit an overcard. You know, one of the overcards we talked about. I mean, I think this person has a lot of outs. I don't think I could raise. I could, maybe call. I mean, like I said, maybe do the call and know that you get away from it on the river because you still have position. You know, if he checks to you on the river again, that you can just check.
Yeah, I agree. I just can't. I can't see a raise here. I don't see any benefit to raising unless you're absolutely positive that he's behind, like with Jack 10 or something. You know, and there's no way to be positive here. I don't see any benefit to it at all. I have to let it go.
All right. Well, Hero makes the call, and the river is the 10 of clubs. So our final board is 10 of hearts, 3 of spades, 6 of spades, 4 hearts, 10 of clubs, and our opponent bets 1,040.
Yeah, see, that's a bad card for us because now it makes it that much harder to let go.
And in the chat box, our hero types, "Oh Lord."
Yeah, that's a bad card for us because it fills him up if he's got the boat. And if he's got the straight, it makes us still second best hand. So that's a bad card for us.
A bad card mean we're folding here?
Yeah, I'm definitely folding.
How much did he bet?
He bet 1,000 something.
1,040.
Yeah, 1,040.
So if we call this, we got like $1,000 left?
Yeah.
Roughly.
All right, let me ask you this. You guys both said that you wouldn't have called anyhow, so this is the pain of doing the hand of the week every week that Chris endures, and now it's your turn, Ed. But if we called, you know, Chris was talking about what card we wanted to hit. I got to think this is one of the cards that we were hoping for, right?
Well, not like Chris said, though. I mean, if this guy's got pocket threes or sixes, if he's done up and he's boated up, I mean...
Well, yeah, but that's the case. We wouldn't have made the call because there's really no card that would come. There actually would be no card that come that would be good for us. Then.
Right, exactly.
So
that's what I'm saying.
For making this call, we were dismissing that possibility, or at least willing to dismiss it long enough to make a call on the river. So a 10 is, I think, the best card for us to hit, if that was our line of thinking on the turn.
Yeah,
I don't think so. I still don't think so. And the reason why is because what we said earlier, we were saying that... no card, there really is no card that can come. So if you're going to call, you were saying you're hoping the guy was check raising and saying, okay, you caught me, but he's not a good enough player to do that. So I don't think there is a card that helps us here. This only hurts us. It makes us strong enough to think we can't fold it, and we really should probably be folding this hand. So now that we've called and made the mistake.
So in your mind, then, if you were talked yourself no call, which obviously you weren't, you were hoping for a blank here and hoping for a check and then just showdown.
Yeah, exactly. I was hoping the guy was on a draw, missed his draw, and said, all right, I give up. And then we'd check for showdown value and just show our ace 10 and hope it wins. But in this case, now it's made it more difficult for us to let it go when this guy bets into us. Now that he's bet 1,000 into us, maybe he has a 10 in his hand. He thinks now he's got 3 10s that are good, and we have the best 3 10s, but it's such a small window that I don't know if I'm ready to risk more than 50% more of my stack when I could survive here and still have, what, 500 big blinds, 50 big blinds, I mean? So, I don't know. I think it's a bad card. I don't know. Ed, what do you think?
Well, I know I've gotten knocked out of a couple tournaments with this same thing, making this crying call. So.
I mean,
it's kind of – I mean, the guy's tight. I mean, that's – I guess I keep going back to his profile, what he's like. I mean, you know, if it was a more loose player, I could see making this call.
Right.
But if he's a tight, smart player, I mean, yeah. I mean, is there going to be a crying call, which I'm afraid probably I would be doing? But looking back at it, I mean, you think about what – I mean, I know we didn't – maybe if we had betted a little more on the flop, you know, where we could maybe defined his hand better, maybe I could get away from it. But considering how we weren't really showing too much strength when we bet, you know, I could see him maybe thinking, you know, that we've missed also.
All right, let me ask you this, too. There's, like, what, before this bet, there was roughly 2,000 in the pot, right?
Well, yeah. When you said he raised before, he raised 2,700 and whatever, or did
2,775, yeah.
Right, so you raised it to that. So that's 1,500. Yeah, so there's a little – I'm about 1,100 in the pot.
1,100?
I mean, no. 2,100.
Right, 2,100. Yeah. All right, so I'm just trying to look into this guy's bet here. He's betting half a pot, which is kind of a standard bet at this – late stage of the game, but if he has a boat, are you betting that much?
I think so. I think that if you get that call on that turn from this player, you're thinking that this guy is calling because he has a hand, and if he had a flush draw that missed, no matter what you bet, he can't call anyway. So I think half the pot is a decent amount to bet there. I think that's – I mean, I don't think I'm going to bet 300 there. I think – it has to be in tune with what I've been betting all along, and since I made it 775 on the turn, I think half the pot is about the right size there, because you're going to get paid off with somebody. He's hoping you have trip 10s now, and he has the boat.
Right.
So he's hoping that, and he's gauging the strength of your hand with his bet. I think that's the right bet to make if he puts you on exactly 3 10s and he has a boat or a straight.
Yeah, I mean, we've led all the way pretty much, you know. We bet on the flop after he checked, you know, he just smooth called, and then he's re-raised us. So, I mean, he knows we've got something, you know, and if he's boated up now, you know, he knows he's going to probably get paid off with his 10 coming.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right, well, as our hero thinks about what to do here, he poses two questions. One, just improve, but am I even ahead in the hand? I think Chris has already defiantly answered that. There's only 3-3-6-6-4-4-5-7 beat me, and he says he's ruling out the deuce 5, 10-3, 10-6, 10-4. The villain will not play those hands. That's probably a safe assumption. But second question, if we think we're ahead, do we raise, but only better hands will call?
No way. I would never raise here in a million years.
No.
In a million years?
Nope. Nope.
You'll be pretty old a million years from now.
A million years of plague, I would never
raise. You won't have your full faculties left at that point. Yeah, I think that's a pretty bold statement, buddy.
The only way I would raise if I'm so old that my hand is shaking and it hits the raise button by accident. That's the only way I would make a raise here.
Do you see any scenario in less than a million years where you would raise?
No. Like I said, yeah, I'm on the life support system there. I'd be pretty much saying full or collar. It's either collar fold. There's no raise on this one, I don't think, for me.
Yeah.
All right. Well, a hero decides to make the call. He says he can't support a raise, but he can call, perhaps has the best hand. If he's wrong, he still has 20 big blinds for the moment and can try to claw back.
Yeah, absolutely. 20 big blinds is plenty.
Yeah.
Particularly early in a tournament, online tournament.
Absolutely.
That's like an S of 4,000.
All right,
well,
let
showdown.
Us know. Yeah. Go ahead. Let's go.
Who's taking odds on the trays? Who's taking odds on the sixes?
I'll take the threes because sixes he might even consider re-raising with. So I'm gonna pick pocket threes.
Yeah, I'll take the sixes.
All right. Our hero tables 9 of diamonds, 9 of spades.
Oh my! Hero? You mean our villain? Oh my god!
I'm sorry, our villain.
2 9s.
My hero.
Your hero. Yeah, he's your hero. Wow.
So our hero has pushed a 4,210 chip pot that neither one of you guys would have won.
No. Wow, incredible. You know, I was earlier thinking that he might have thought that way, that if he had like eights or something, he might have played the hand this way, but not on the turn. I don't think I would have done that with nines on the turn there. And when I got the call, I definitely wouldn't have bet on the river. You know, that's from his standpoint, I definitely would have played it.
Well, let's think about this. I mean, how much his play certainly put a lot of doubt in our mind, right?
Yeah.
I mean, he got you guys to fold. It would have got me to fold.
Yeah.
Maybe it's not that. You know, the only thing that beats us at that point is a 10. I mean, I guess some of these other pocket pairs we could be up against trips, but I don't know.
Over pairs too, though. You raise, well, so you could have over pair to the tens.
Yeah, okay, that's true too. But
well, I mean, the part that gets
we're
going to
find
out
by raising there, though. If we get re-raised, then I think he's in a better position to let this hand go if he gets re-raised on the turn with that bet than we are.
I mean, I guess for me, the part that this gets me is that the villain on the turn raises it to 775, I think it was there,
yeah.
And we call that, and then for him on the river when another 10 hits to come out like that, I mean. I'm guessing he didn't have us on a 10.
That's true. That's a little. That's bigger. That's a ballsier bet to make than the turn raise.
Yeah, that was my contention. Was the river bet? I would never have played it that way. And you know.
All right, but what do you do then if you have nines in that situation? You took your stand on a turn. You raised. You got call. Now do you just wave the white flag on the river?
Well, if you're gonna bet 1,000, and instead check, then you might be willing to call 1,000. So maybe the guy value bets for less than that, or checks behind, and you get showdown value or nines. I don't know. I just don't.
Yeah. But going back to what I asked about the bet size, too. I mean, you could realistically get away with putting out a 500 chip bet there on the river and representing that you have the boat and the whole post oak kind of thing, and would have saved yourself 500 chips.
Yeah. Well, I mean, the turn he does a check raise. I mean, I might think that I could maybe try checking it, thinking that, I'm trying to make him think that I'm going to do another check raise if I can get him to bet.
That's a good point.
Maybe try to see if I can squeak out with nothing on the river.
Well, here's what I think might have happened. If this guy's as good as DJ says, then I think that when he got call in the turn, he was shocked that he got the call, that he thought he probably was going to get him to lay it down. And when he didn't lay it down, he had to play it like he was playing a boat. And DJ just didn't feel that from this guy and made the call. So I think that maybe that's what this guy was doing. And that's the amount I would bet if I had a boat, thinking that you had a 10, trying to get you to lay your hand down. I think. I don't know. I mean, that's the only way I get inside this guy's mind and make that bet on the river.
All right. Well, Dave, be happy with winning that big pot because you you're a previous swag winner, so we're not going to send you anything, not even a T-shirt from PMS Pokerware, which sells hilarious shirts for gals and guys in the Andy Up store at andyupstore.com. But other folks, you can email us your hands of the week, podcast at andyupmagazine.com, and we'll be happy to shower you with gifts, win or lose.
Ed, thanks so much for joining us today. We really appreciate you taking the time and sticking around for Hand of the Week, too.
Thank you, guys. Like I said, it was a great honor to be on your old show, man. I appreciate it.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
I'm Chris Cosenza.
And I'm Scott Long.
We'll see you at the tables.
Annie Up is a production of AnnieUpMagazine.com and is recorded at WDAE 620 AM in Tampa. Contact us at podcast@AnnieUpMagazine.com or call our hotline at 813-448-1120. If you'd like to advertise, send us an email at advertising@AnnieUpMagazine.com or call 727-331-4335. Some music used in this episode comes courtesy of the PodSafe Music Network.